they give us that inch, that bump stock ban, we will take a mile.
Just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Good morning and welcome in to this Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host here, driving the big crazy bus through life in the world today. Hoping you're having a good one, that yesterday was a good one, and that you're not damp like everybody in Alabama today. Holy smokes! I don't think has it stopped raining since yesterday at all? I don't think it has. It has been raining nonstop. I mean, there have been a few breaks. We've been able to take the pooch out to go do her business a couple of times. But generally, she gets to the door and says, "What are you, nuts? You crazy? No, I'm going back in the house. You can stay out of here if you want to." It's just been raining like crazy. I keep looking for a big boat full of animals to float by. It is a wet day in my neighborhood. And hopefully you're staying dry wherever you are, and hopefully warm at the same time. After all, it is winter time. Good morning. I'm glad you're along. Thank you so much for listening. It's good to have you here for this Tuesday edition of the podcast. It's the 11th day of February, 2020. It also happens to be my wedding anniversary, number 42. And 42, regardless of what some may tell you, is not the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything. That's a sci-fi comedy book. It's 42 years of marriage to the sweetest woman in the world, who had a serious lapse of judgment at a very young age and agreed to marry me. And she's hung on for all this time. And I love her dearly, my sweet Jane. So happy anniversary, baby. What a day it is shaping up to be. New Hampshire is in our sights today. The primary is happening today. People are voting, casting their votes towards who they want to be the nominee on the Democrat side of the contest coming up in November. And it's going to be interesting to see how this turns out. The way things are looking right now, the front runner that the Democrats said was the most dependable person, the most solid person, the only person who could defeat Donald Trump, is looking like maybe he escaped from the senior care facility. He's having lapses of judgment. He's calling people names. Joe Biden is sadly not looking good. And that brings us down to who else? Elizabeth Warren is falling off the log, so to speak. She fell out of her canoe. And the rest of the field is way, way, way behind Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg. And those two guys, we'll look at them in a little more detail on today's podcast. Neither one of those guys should be anywhere near the Oval Office. Even on a tour, these guys shouldn't be near the Oval Office, because their worldview is deeply twisted. And like I said, we'll look at that coming up in a bit. Valentine's Day is coming up this week, which was one of the reasons we chose the 11th as our wedding date, because that was the Saturday closest to Valentine's Day. And both of us were very young. Both of us were working jobs. Neither one of us could get off work. So we got married on a Saturday and went back to work on Monday. And we really never had an official honeymoon. Now, in the years since then, we have done things, gone places, enjoyed life, and we have had that time together. But we didn't have that little escape that so many couples have right after they got married. We went right back to work. Because, hey, there was rent to pay on that little tiny one-bedroom apartment that we shared after we got married. And there was utilities to pay for. We had to buy gas for the cars. We had to buy groceries to put on the table. And, you know, I to myself, I sound increasingly more like an old codger when I talk about going to buy groceries with Jane in those early days. Because on a week where we felt like we could splurge, and I mean, this was, boy, I feel bad about doing this. I actually feel kind of guilty about doing this, but should we really spend this much money on groceries? Should we buy steaks? I mean, come on. A week where we would splurge and buy steaks for one meal that week, the two of us would walk out of the grocery store spending around $25. That's enough food to feed the both of us for a week, plus splurging on an expensive meal. And what does it cost today? Yeah, see, I sound like your grandfather now, don't I? Hey, when I was a kid, gas was a nickel. Well, no, I never saw gas. I know, no. I remember it being 79.9. I remember it being, you know, I remember it being cheap. I think I remember it in the 50-cent range. But no, I never thought it would get past that. But where are we now? But hey, that's life. You move forward, everything around you changes. Even though once you've formed your sensibilities, if you're a logical, rational, reasonable person, once you've formed your base of sensibilities, aside from getting older and it making it harder to walk and this and that, well, not much about you really changes. In fact, as you get older, you look at the world through the lens of experience, but at the same time, you're still that guy you were when you were 20 or 25, and you still have the same sense of humor, and you still have the same sensibility about, well, the clothes you'd like to wear and things like that. And I catch myself on a regular basis looking at clothes and thinking, God, that's awesome. I'd love to. No, wait a minute. I'm 63 years old. I would look like the idiot old guy trying to be cool. No, not buying that. And that happened to me near the Christmas holidays when I mentioned to my wife, my sweet Jane, I wanted to get some boots just because, you know, I wanted a new pair of shoes. And I thought, I've been looking at these boots. I kind of like these boots. And there were some of them that I saw that I thought, God, those are fantastic. I can't wear those. I can't pull that off. I'm the old guy with the gray hair. I would look like an idiot wearing that. So that's kind of how things go. Your sensibilities about what you like and what you don't like really don't ever change that much. But everything else about you does. Which is why when I look at the news every day, I have to look at it through the lens of absurdity. Because a lot of what I see happening around me in the world today is truly absurd when I see it through the lens of my experience and the perspective I have because of that. And I see crazy, crazy, crazy stuff going on. And people not even batting an eye, not even flinching when certain things are proposed, when certain things are floated. Oh, that's a great idea. And my first thought is, what are you, crazy? Don't you realize what that'll do? And then I realize, no, they don't realize that what that'll do. They don't have the experience. They don't have the background. They don't have the knowledge that comes with years. They don't have this going for them. All they have going for them is what they're being told by people who are lying to them for the sake of gaining power. Which is why I tell you to dig. I don't do it often enough. Do your own research. Stop listening to the mainstream news. If you get your information from the NBC Nightly News, you are woefully uninformed. Bless your heart. But as I said, Valentine's Day is coming up, and there's a crazy thing going on that I think is absolutely perfect. And if you've had a bad relationship, come on, we've all had bad relationships, you know it. And you want to get even. You just want a little dig, a little pound of flesh, because you're still angry about what happened in that relationship. If you want sweet revenge instead of, I don't know, chocolates for Valentine's Day. In Texas, the San Antonio Zoo will do something special for you. They will name a rat after your ex and feed it to a snake on Valentine's Day for a small fee, a slim $25. $25 is all it takes to have a rat named after your ex and fed to a snake on Valentine's Day. Come on. Okay. So you're either thinking, I don't have 25. I love the idea, but I don't have 25 bucks, or I wouldn't waste 25 bucks on that piece of filth. Well, there's a cheaper alternative. For only $5, you can name a cockroach after your ex, and the zoo will feed it to a bird or another animal. And it doesn't matter where you live, because the zoo will be live streaming the event on Facebook. So you can go get the show notes today, because the link is in the show notes today. You can go and submit a name, learn more about the event at the link that's in this story in the show notes. And you can visit the zoo's official Facebook page through the link that's in the show notes, and you can see everything going on. So there's your option. If this Valentine's Day you're still holding a grudge, well, for a small fee, you can get a little bit of entertainment out of that grudge. And there is something absurd to start your day. Oh, here's something else that's absurd. This... When will this story die? That's the question that I ask. When will this story die? I honestly hope that it will die very, very soon. But I don't see that happening. I just don't. Because the person at the center of the story lives for attention. The XFL had its kickoff weekend Saturday and Sunday. I don't know if you're aware of that, because the NFL's been through everything. They've done the Super Bowl and all that stuff. But the XFL is now... winding things up, is now starting things up, and it was kind of controversial. Well, there was a controversial person who was absent, who honestly, seriously thought that they would be involved in this weekend. You're probably ahead of me. Colin Kaepernick. Yep, Colin Kaepernick, the guy who got kicked out of the NFL, who lost his gig because he felt like it was more important to be political than to actually do a good job for his employers, really seriously thought he was going to be playing with the XFL. His fallout with the NFL, after given that, you might expect that he'd jump at opportunities to showcase his talents on a different stage in order to lure some offers. With that not being the case for Kaepernick, a lot of people are speculating why. Is he being blackballed now by the XFL? Well, not quite. There is a rest of the story. Actually, according to recent comments from XFL Commissioner Oliver Luck, the opposite of that may actually be closer to the truth. Saturday, speaking with NPR, Oliver Luck shed light on the situation, confirming that the league had spoken with Colin Kaepernick about joining the league last year. But the former NFL quarterback's salary demands were too exorbitant for any agreement to be made. Luck said, "We gave it some thought. We have some pretty significant salary restrictions, you know. We're a startup league, so we want to make sure we can be fiscally responsible and fiscally prudent. And the, you know, salary requirements that some folks, you know, shared with us were, in our case, exorbitant, so we, you know, couldn't go down that path. We spoke with his representative, and the salary requirements that were broached in the conversation were exorbitant and certainly out of our range." Now, Mr. Luck's remarks correspond with a Sporting News report from last year claiming that Kaepernick was seeking, at least, okay, to suit up for the new league. He was seeking, are you ready? At least $20 million. Oh, yeah, that's good. He wanted 20 mil. Yeah. According to the Sporting News, while the XFL is willing to pay more for the coveted quarterback position, the position, not this guy, but the position, they're not willing to pay nearly that much. They say the highest paid players make just shy of $500,000 in the XFL. Not even some starting quarterbacks in the NFL make that much. Mr. Luck has reportedly made similar comments about Kaepernick's salary demands in the past, telling the Tampa Bay Times last year that, quote, "his salary demands are way out of our ballpark, and because of that, he was never really a viable option." But even if Kaepernick were to significantly lower his salary demands, questions remain about whether the league and he would be able to come to an agreement regarding the national anthem and on-field protest policies. You see, the XFL has a policy requiring players to stand for the national anthem. If they don't, there will be consequences. So, Mr. Colin, I love to grandstand Kaepernick, would probably have a rocky road to travel in the XFL because they actually have a policy against doing what got him booted from the NFL. I just have to say, that's a gutsy move. Good for you, man. Good for you. It's insane, but it's gutsy. I'll give you that.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
And thank goodness for the internet, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening right now. Hi there, it's the Tuesday, February 11th edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast, and it's good to have you along today. I still can't believe the guy wants $20 million to play for the XFL. That just is further proof that Colin Kaepernick is out of touch with reality. It's What's up with you, dude? You're crazy, that's what. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. What do we have looking forward in the stack of stuff today? Well, let's see. It's never a guarantee, but I've got things stacked up here. We're going to look at what Bernie Sanders said back in 1972. Could be interesting. What Trump has recently said about Bernie Sanders. This is hoping I have the time to get to all of this stuff. We're going to find out a little bit about Mayor Pete. Something maybe you did not know. And we're going to look at some news about what's happening in New Hampshire. And then we're going to go here. This is where I'm trying to. I posted an anniversary thing on Facebook a little while ago because I got how Facebook does a video for your birthdays and anniversaries and things like that. And I said, oh, well, that's nice. I'll share that. And now my Facebook is blowing up. It's just constantly bing, bing, bing with people saying happy anniversary. So, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's distracting, but thank you very much. But first, let's see here. Where are we? That's where we are. I discombobulated myself. Sanctuary cities are a serious problem in America today. We've been watching this situation develop for the last couple of years, and as city after city, progressive, liberal, leftist-controlled cities go away. Stop that. Controlled. I said something that sounded like Siri, and there you go. There are leftist, progressive, wacko-controlled cities that have decided to protect illegal immigrants from deportation. Now, these are people who have broken the law, people who have more than broken the law of illegal entry into the United States. We're talking about people who have broken the law and then committed crimes while on U.S. soil. And they should be deported. They should be taken out of the country, and every time they try to come back, that should happen. They should be put on a bus and sent back wherever they came from. And every time they come back, the consequences should be more severe. Well, the Justice Department yesterday ramped up its fight against states and municipalities that adopt sanctuary policies to protect unauthorized immigrants from deportation, with Attorney General William Barr announcing new lawsuits against the state of New Jersey and King County, Washington, where Seattle is located. The lawsuit against New Jersey asks a court to stop the state from enforcing a law that prohibits state and local law enforcement from sharing information about criminally charged immigrants in the country illegally, while the lawsuit against King County targets a law that Barr said forbids the Department of Homeland Security from deporting aliens from the United States through the county airport. Barr said in prepared remarks, when we're talking about sanctuary cities, we're talking about policies that are designed to allow criminal aliens to escape. These policies are not about people who came to our country illegally, but have otherwise been peaceful and productive members of society. Their express purpose is to shelter aliens whom local law enforcement has already arrested for other crimes. This is neither lawful nor sensible. Barr also touted another recently filed lawsuit against California over a law that bars the use of private detention facilities. He said his department plans to step up efforts to target district attorneys, whom he accused of charging foreign nationals with lesser offenses for the express purpose of avoiding the federal immigration consequences. He said, unfortunately, in various jurisdictions, so-called progressive politicians are jeopardizing the public's safety by putting the interests of criminal aliens before those of law-abiding citizens. These policies are textbook examples of misguided ideology triumphing over common sense law enforcement. So, finally, the Attorney General, and I know I say finally, like, well, doggone it, it's about time. Well, yeah, these things do honestly take time because you have to get everything. You have to get all the ducks in the row. You know what I mean? Everything has to be arranged just properly in order for this to happen. Well, it's taken some time, but finally it's happening, and I'm thankful for it. We will see how this progresses, but it's a good first step because we've been watching this error bear fruit, this wrong thinking bear fruit. We've seen stories just in the past week or so of people who have committed murder multiple times and then been released again and again and again, put back on the streets. These are killers, people who have no compunction about ending the life of someone in order to take their possessions from them. And they have been released again and again and again. We've seen the same thing happen with rapists. We've seen the same thing happen with drunk drivers. We've seen the same thing happen with all manner of crimes. In sanctuary cities, they're released, put back on the streets. Not because there is any sensibility that that's the proper route to recovery or to teach them that they can be good people. That in itself is twisted and weird. But there are those who believe that. No, this has been done, as is said in this story that comes to us from pluralist.com. This has been done purely to prevent ICE from taking these people and sending them out of the country. They've come to our country, one, they've broken a law by coming into our country without coming through the proper channels, or they have come to our country on a visa which has expired and they've never left. And on top of breaking that or those laws, they have committed other crimes while they're here. Some of them heinous, horrible crimes. As I said, rape and murder. And these delusional, insane, progressive people have put them back on the street to harm other American citizens because they don't want ICE to capture these people and deal with them as the law requires. This kind of lawlessness is not atypical for progressivism. Progressives will refuse to abide by the law if in their twisted ideology they believe the law somehow oppresses people. And you know, if you've been paying attention, that progressivism is built on victimhood. They make everyone a victim in order to appeal to them in some way. Bless your heart, they're holding you back, they're keeping you down, you're a victim of insert whatever in the blank. You're a victim, and the progressives are there to fight for you. Well, that government oppression creates victims, and so in the progressive mindset, these rapists and murderers are victims. Not the people they have raped or murdered. The perpetrators are victims. In this bizarre, twisted, psychotic mindset. This is the mindset which is driving AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is the mindset which is driving Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg. This is the mindset which is driving, well, really, all of the presidential candidates on the Democrat side. It's the mindset that's driving every member of the squad. It's the mindset that has taken over the Democrat Party and has been pushing for this bizarre, twisted impeachment process and this digging up dirt on everyone who succeeded against their wishes. That is the mindset behind all of it. Just think about that for a bit. That these politicians who claim they know best and they are going to do what's right for our country and they're going to fight for oppressed minorities, people, oppressed classes, victims everywhere. These people would allow rapists and murderers back on the street to commit more and more and more crimes for the sake of having their way. These people don't care about this country. They care about their power and control and the access to more power and control. And that is what is driving progressives today.
You're a big, fat, bumbling, oblivious, pepe-wearing, mega-idiot.
What did I do? Some days you just... Hi there. Welcome back to this edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here with you, hoping you're having a fantastic day. And that all is well with you and yours, and that you are not nearly as damp as those of us who are in the great state of Alabama. Because we have, we got flooding going on here. I talked a little bit about the weather at the top, but holy smokes. I mean, there are area roads that are underwater. Yesterday I talked about this, about how you see deep water, you shouldn't go through it. And one of the reasons is that water could have undermined the asphalt and you can't see it. It's all muddy, right? It's all this brown water. You can't see what's underneath it. And sure enough, late yesterday afternoon, I saw pictures popping up of places where the water had washed away sections of roads. And just think about that. You drive through some deep water.
Oh, that ain't nothing. I got this.
And instead of it being a few inches deep or maybe a foot deep like you thought it was, there's a big hole there. Turn around, don't drown. That's what they're saying. It's a wet day in our neighborhood. Hopefully you are dry. I hope you're dry. I hope you are. Well, today in New Hampshire, they're voting. Democrats are not reportedly the only ones that are worried about Senator Bernie Sanders having a clear path to victory there. So-called Never Trumpers have been peppering New Hampshire Republicans with phone calls, urging them to cross the party lines and cast a vote against the Vermont Socialist today. According to Hot Air, conservative leading independent voters in New Hampshire got phone calls over the weekend suggesting that, hey, those of you who normally vote in the GOP primary should consider switching sides and voting in the Democratic nomination race. The goal? Propel a responsible and electable candidate, presumably former South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, into the winner's circle, breaking Sanders' winning streak and interrupting his path to victory. The New Hampshire Journal reports that the founder of the now-defunct Weekly Standard, Bill Kristol, was behind the effort to identify and motivate independent voters to cast a ballot in the Democratic primary today. An effort, the New Hampshire Journal reports, which involves tens of thousands of New Hampshire voter contacts and a six-figure budget. Kristol told the outlet, the New Hampshire Journal, said, I'm happy to have joined with some others to help remind New Hampshire independents who might be accustomed to voting in the Republican primary that this year they may be able to make a more of a difference by voting for a responsible and electable candidate in the Democratic primary. The Journal says the calls don't mention any candidates by name or endorse any specific Democrats, instead making a case for supporting centrists in the all-important first-in-the-nation primary, as opposed to self-described Democratic Socialist Senator Bernie Sanders. The so-called never-Trumpers are looking to avoid a matchup between Sanders and President Trump, a matchup that favors President Trump, by all accounts, particularly in the battleground states where Trump's message of economic populism resonates and where the economy appears to be chugging along. Crystal and others had thrown their support behind insurgent candidates for the 2020 Republican presidential nomination, but former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh, himself once one of Trump's biggest supporters, dropped out of the race last week. Former Libertarian vice presidential candidate Bill Weld remains in the race, but support for Weld barely registered in Iowa. And Trump leads Weld by around 80 points in New Hampshire primary polls. As for Bernie Sanders, it may be too little too late to derail his campaign. Although Sanders didn't technically win Iowa's delegates to the Democratic National Convention, he did, by all accounts, win the popular vote, besting former South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg by just 1%. Oh, actually, 0.1% of the vote. That's 0.1%. Enough that Sanders has called for a re-canvass of some of the state's key precincts. There's also an argument to be made that Democrats risk trouble by denying Sanders what is rightfully his. Sanders may poll badly against Trump, but increasingly, so do former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Elizabeth Warren, the two candidates most often mentioned in conversations about electability. Buttigieg stands at just 14%, nationally speaking, not much better than Biden or Warren. Now, here's the thing. Well, a couple of things. First, if the Democrats, with the help of never-Trump Republicans, shaft Bernie Sanders again, what will happen is that Bernie's voters, this passionate, dare I say, lunatic group of people who would vote for a dyed-in-the-wool communist, would these people vote for anyone else? Would they vote for Buttigieg? Would they vote for anyone else? No. No, they would not. In fact, out of spite, I have actually been reading here and there, out of spite, out of anger, they might actually go to the polls and vote for Trump in order to smash the Democrat Party into the ground. So this thinking is not correct thinking. It's not good thinking. I don't think it's going to play out. We're talking about a group of people here who aren't seeing things clearly. And you expect them to behave in a clear and readable fashion? I don't think so. Now here's the other thing. Never Trumpers. Bill Kristol and those like him. These people who, for years, hefted the conservative banner, who waved their conservatism proudly, who had publications, who stood behind conservatism, are willing to put our nation in the hands of people who will not willingly surrender their power in order to defeat Donald Trump. All you have to do is just think back over the last couple of years and everything the Democrats have done. Think about what the Democrats in the House have been doing for the past, well, since the election. Since Election Day, or possibly we'll give them the morning after Election Day. Think about what they've been doing since the morning after Election Day 2016. They've been trying to destroy Donald Trump. They've been trying to regain the power they had under Obama. They have been trying to overturn an election and take it out of the hands of the American people and put that election in the hands of a small group of people in Washington, D.C. because they so deeply desire to have that power and control. These people don't care about the United States of America as it is. They care about the United States of America as it could be if they can complete the effort to
fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
This is what they want. They want to transform the United States of America into a socialist paradise, a progressive paradise. Because as all progressive slash socialists believe, every time it's been done before, it's been done either incorrectly or by the wrong people who did it incorrectly. And as Barack Obama said to a cheering crowd, we are the people we've been waiting for. So they believe that they are the answer to the socialist paradise. And since 2016, they have been fighting tooth and nail to wrench victory away from Donald Trump and the people of the United States so that they can have what they wanted at that time, which was at least four more and probably eight more years of progressive lawlessness in control of America. The same mentality that drives sanctuary cities, the same mentality that allows criminals, hardened, horrible, heinous, vicious criminals to be released back on the streets again and again and again to prevent them from being deported from our country. This same mentality, those people want to be in control of this country again. That mentality won't let go of its power when it has its power, which is why they're doing what they're doing right now. They lost their power. They lost it. The American people looked at who they put up against Donald Trump and said, ain't no way. They voted for Trump. The progressives tried to hide his popularity. They tried to hide his appeal. They tried to portray Hillary Clinton as a lock for the nomination and for the office of president. Up into the evening, on election night, they were saying she had a huge advantage and there was no way Trump could win. And they were all wrong. They lied to themselves and they lied to America in order to propel Hillary Clinton forward, and their lie failed. And since they have failed, they have been trying desperately to get back in control again, by hook or by crook. And we are beginning to see arrests being made for the crook part of it. And there will be more made. But Bill Kristol and people like him would put the control of this nation back into the hands of those people who will not surrender it if they get control again. Now, we're hearing kooks on the left say things like, if Donald Trump is reelected, he'll never surrender power and he'll be president for the rest of his life. Well, there's absolutely nothing that we have seen, aside from a few jokes designed to prod those people into being idiots. We have seen nothing that supports that claim. But given the behavior of the Democrats in power over the past 3 years, it's pretty obvious that they thought that was what was happening when they had the White House, they had control of the government under Barack Obama. They thought that they could reclaim that power for another 8 years and keep doing whatever they wanted to do. And if they'd been able to, we never would see another Republican in the White House.
They looked at me as if I had lobsters crawling under my ears.
Yeah, well, they should have. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It's the Tuesday anniversary of the edition. Well, not the anniversary of the podcast. It's a wedding anniversary. 42 years. It is February 11th, 2020. And we're looking at the insanity, the lunacy, the craziness, the what? That's coming out of the Democrat Party, the progressives. I don't know about you, but when you hear that name progressive, do you ever think, wow, these people have got it so backwards? Every time I hear them called progressives, I call them progressives. None of this is progressive. It's all been tried and failed time and time and time and time and time and time again around the world. Every time the people have been deceived into voting into place the progressive ideology as a form of government, eventually they've gotten tired of starving and waiting in bread lines and not being able to buy gas for their cars and being told they can't have things because their neighbors can't afford them and the like. Every time that's happened, they've stood up against it and said, well, forget this. And they have started to fight against it. And eventually, many people died because progressivism doesn't tolerate dissent. It just doesn't. Oh, it's very tolerant and very accepting and very open-minded and very open-armed when it's campaigning to get into power. But once it has power, it leaves all that at the door. Every time. They portray themselves, when they're campaigning, as rational, reasonable people, usually. For example, the former mayor, Pete Buttigieg, used to be the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. He's gaining strength from his surprisingly strong finish in Iowa. He's now breathing down Senator Bernie Sanders' neck in New Hampshire. The distance between the two has narrowed significantly in the last week. One poll actually showing the former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, in the lead. It's unfathomable that any voter would consider two terms as a small city mayor sufficient experience for the U.S. presidency. But then again, a lot of people thought that about a certain community organizer from Chicago. Obama began running for the presidency shortly after he was elected to the Senate. But at least he had some experience in the U.S. government. A little. Buttigieg has never held office at the federal level. Why would any American feel that this 38-year-old former mayor is qualified to run the country? During a Saturday appearance on Fox & Friends, Fox News contributor and investigator Dan Bongino explains precisely what accounts for Buttigieg's appeal to his supporters. He said, quote, Pete Buttigieg has a near magical ability to never answer a question. His BSing skills are second to none in the Democrat field. No one BSs like Pete. No one. When asked a question, Buttigieg does not want to answer. Bongino notes that he will often speak for 4 or 5 minutes without providing an actual answer. But his mastery of the art of BS, well, his eloquent and near-perfect delivery leaves people in awe. Mayor Pete is almost impossibly smooth. He's young, he's hip, he's gay. He sounds like he's got this. And he says whatever he says with such conviction that people believe him. Moreover, he graduated from Harvard College and Oxford University, attending Oxford on a Rhodes Scholarship. He's also very deliberate and disciplined in his responses to avoid being trapped. However, as he rises to the top of the 2020 field and faces a higher degree of scrutiny, his inexperience will become even clearer to voters. As we witnessed during Friday's New Hampshire debate, his rivals, who understand that many of his answers are pure BS, have begun calling him out. They also realize that he has a serious chance of winning the nomination, and their claws have come out. They need to start exposing how green he really is. In a recent New York Times survey taken by all of the 2020 candidates, he failed to answer half the questions. It consisted of 36 questions on 11 foreign policy topics. He failed to answer half the questions. Buttigieg has now reached the point in the primary where his BS will no longer win the day. His vague, rambling, metaphor-filled non-answers will no longer satisfy voters who are trying to make an informed decision about which candidate they will support. They're looking for some substance. Substance he really can't provide. But let's remember, that didn't stop people from voting for Obama. And Obama used almost exactly the same approach. He was slick, he was well-spoken, and his answers never really were answers. Now, Pete Buttigieg has managed to convince Democrats he's the moderate in a crowded field of Democrat presidential candidates. Just how moderate is this only child, the only child of Joseph Buttigieg? Dad was a Marxist, a professor at Notre Dame University who died only days before Pete announced his bid to become a Democrat presidential candidate. According to the Washington Examiner, the 71-year-old father of only child Pete Buttigieg was a Marxist professor who spoke fondly of the Communist Manifesto and dedicated a significant portion of his academic career to the work of Italian Communist Party founder Antonio Gramsci, an associate of Vladimir Lenin. Joseph Buttigieg immigrated to the U.S. in the 1970s from Malta, and in 1980 joined the University of Notre Dame faculty, where he taught modern European literature and literary theory. He supported an updated version of Marxism that jettisoned some of Marx and Engels' more doctrinaire theories, though he was undoubtedly a Marxist. He was an advisor to Rethinking Marxism, an academic journal that published articles that seek to discuss, elaborate, and or extend Marxian theory, and a member of the editorial collective of Boundary 2, a journal of postmodern theory, literature, and culture. He spoke at many Rethinking Marxism conferences and other gatherings of prominent Marxists. In a 2000 paper for Rethinking Marxism, critical of the approach of Human Rights Watch, Buttigieg, along with two other authors, refers to the Marxist project to which we subscribe. In 1998, he wrote an article for the Chronicle of Higher Education about an event in New York City celebrating the 150th anniversary of the Communist Manifesto. He also participated in the event. He wrote, "If the Communist Manifesto was meant to liberate the proletariat, the manifesto itself in recent years needed liberating from Marxism's narrow post-Cold War orthodoxies and exclusive cadres. It has been freed." Do I need to go much further here? Pete Buttigieg's father was a hardline Marxist. He believed Marxism was the answer. And it appears, regardless of how he may or may not answer questions, that Mayor Pete is the nut that didn't fall far from the tree. This is why it's so important to dig beyond the headlines. You need to learn about people's roots. You need to pay attention, and you need to take them into consideration when you're making your decisions. Had America done this back in 2008, our country would be very different now. Because there would not have been 8 years of a man and a movement trying
fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
And they're still trying to keep that dream alive. And I'll tell you something. If Pete Buttigieg, by some bizarre twist of fate, actually was elected as president, that's exactly what would happen. Now, he doesn't, on the surface, appear to be as radical as Bernie Sanders. But he is. He really is. Speaking of Bernie Sanders, if the polls are right, and history is any indication, chances are that Bernie will be the Democratic Party's nominee for president. This means that from now until Election Day, the DNC and the media, aren't they the same thing, will work overtime to normalize Sanders' radicalism. In fact, the effort to whitewash his views is already underway. In a Newsweek article published this week titled, "Bernie Sanders is a Democratic Socialist, Not a Communist, Here's the Difference," writer Jason Lemon goes to great lengths to defend the septuagenarian senator from President Trump, who called him a communist in a recent interview. Sanders' views, according to a professor interviewed by Newsweek, would be closer to those in Sweden than in Venezuela or anywhere in the communist world, and easily understood by anyone in Europe. Let's make this very clear. President Trump is 100% right. The notion that Bernie Sanders is a gentle Nordic-style social democrat is a lie. The man is a communist, period, full stop, end of story. The differences between Sanders' supposed democratic socialism and communism exist only in political philosophy textbooks. Anyone with even a cursory understanding of European politics and Bernie Sanders' record understands that his ideological sympathies lie with central planners in Caracas and not center-left parties in Copenhagen. Bernie Sanders, if you study him, is a communist. And communists, just like their communist-light friends who claim socialism, communists always lie about what they believe to get elected. You don't need to look any further than the people who are his field organizers, those who have been exposed by Project Veritas over recent weeks, those who propose that gulags be established to re-educate Republicans. Those people are the real Bernie bros. And that ideology, that mentality, drives them forward. And you need to be aware of that. And that is all for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.